Thank you, GCG. Who else but God? Who else but God? Anybody preached my sermon there in the song. Hallelujah. Title of today's message is, What is the Purpose of Worship? Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word, speak to our hearts. Challenge us to move from where we are to where you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. I need one of you to help me preach by praying for me every 10 minutes or so. I got this funny tickle in my throat that wants to keep me quiet. So about every 5-10 minutes, just say up another prayer. I should be catching another wind by then. We are in the second in our sermon series, What's Worship Got to Do with It? Last week, our lay pastor, Sandra McLean, did an outstanding job leading us off with her message, What is Worship? Praise God. I believe next week, Pastor Kelly is going to preach on What Does Worship Do to Us? And today, I've been given the assignment, What is the Purpose of Worship? All right. How many of you have ever been on a cruise ship before? Been on a cruise. Okay. For those of you who haven't been on a cruise, let me just tell you this. A cruise has a whole lot to offer. There is food on the hour, every hour. For those of you who love to eat, you are in heaven itself. You have your choice of going to dining in a dining room with a tuxedo or a suit. Or you can go up on the libido deck and in your shorts and bathing suit and get you some food up there. They've got food constantly going around. There's a schedule for what the entertainment is for the day, from comedy to dancing. There are water slides. There are pools. There's a half basketball court. There's a track for you to jog around. There are... when you get to certain ports, you can get off, you can go scuba diving, you can go sightsailing, you can go parasailing, sightseeing, snorkeling. There are people for you to meet from all walks of life. There's an exercise room and a whole lot more. Okay, so there's plenty for you to do on a cruise. Now, suppose Billy up here got enough money to go on a cruise, and Billy told us, I'm going on a cruise, I'm going on a cruise. And Billy gets ready for his cruise, and he has this big suitcase packed full of sandwiches that he's carrying on the cruise. And when he gets on the boat, he goes to his room, and he sits down right in front of that little port window on his side. And he spends 4 days there in his room eating the sandwiches that he made. And at the end of 4 days, he gets off the boat and he comes back and he says, I went on a cruise. Now, we can all agree the brother went on a cruise. But how many of you know he did not understand the purpose for going on a cruise? And you see, when we do not understand the purpose for something, we miss out on the benefits and the joy that was supposed to be produced by it. Now, when we talk about worship, worship is not a place where we go to. People will say, well, I'm going to the worship. No, it's not a place we go to. It's not a description of a service. We call stuff worship service. No, worship involves us taking our minds off of ourselves and consciously focusing in upon God. Worshiping God is not something somebody else can do for us. We can't pay somebody $5 to go to church and worship on our behalf. It doesn't work like that. And each Sunday, we make a deliberate choice as to whether we are going to enter into worship or not. We decide, I am either going to surrender my heart to God during this time, or I am not going to do it. And sometimes we worship God in our own little way, and we are even bold enough to say, God, you either accept it or leave it. How many of you have been guilty of not putting your whole heart into your worship at times? Your mind just all over the place. You going through the movement, but your heart is not in it. Now, in the Old Testament, God was very specific in how he told people to worship him, especially the leaders. Because back then, they had certain incenses and fragrances that were used in worship to put people in the mind of worshiping God. And God would say, I want you to use so much of this and so much of that so that it would be uniform. Now, back then, most of us know Moses. Moses had a brother named Aaron. And Aaron was the high priest of the people. Aaron had two sons. They were called Nadab and Abihu. And we don't know why, but for some reason, Nadab and Abihu thought, hey, let's come up with our own way of worshiping God. And so instead of making the incense like they were supposed to, they decided we got a better way of worshiping and we're going to do what we want to honor God. Now, what they were actually lifting up to God was their disobedience, but they couldn't see it. They were just doing their own thing. And when they came in here with this strange incense, this strange offering to offer to God, the scripture says fire came out and burned them both to death. How many of you know that only have to happen one time at Glenville for us to get our worship act together? Just one person fall dead during the praise and worship songs, and the rest of us will either worship in spirit and truth, or we won't come to church at all. Now, Nadab and Abihu had to be carried out of in front of the sanctuary because of their disobedience. Their cousins had to come and take away their body. Now, Nadab and Abihu, they both knew what they were supposed to do. They both knew what the mixture was supposed to be. They both knew what time the sacrifices were supposed to be up. They knew it, but they insisted on still doing things their own way. They placed themselves above God's call to worship him. It cost them their lives because they rejected the idea that God is totally holy, awesome, deserving of our respect and honor. Now, you may think, man, God was a little rough with them two over something so small. But God knew that that spirit that was in them, if it went into the rest of the people, it was going to cause havoc. You see, when we do not respect and honor God, it's not long before we no longer respect and honor each other. This is what happens in our families. This is what happens in our community. When God is not respected, we stop respecting others. We start thinking, I'm in charge, I'm in control, nobody has the right to tell me what to do. Any of y'all ran into that spirit in your house? Any of y'all been that spirit at your house? Okay. A couple of honest brothers and sisters here. Okay. When I know that I am in the presence of a holy and awesome God, I realize I got to give an account to somebody for my behavior. So if I am constantly going in and out of the presence of God, I am being, or at least my character, is being transformed. Part of worship is to transform our character so that when we are in the presence of God, we know I'm going to have to answer to somebody besides myself. Now, those of you who were in the first service this morning, you don't get to answer this question. But if you weren't in the first service, what do you think is the easiest commandment in the Bible to keep? At least the first service had all kind of options available. Well, I will give you what I think is the easiest verse in the, or commandment in the Bible to keep. It's found in Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Now, I'll show you how easy it is to keep that commandment. On the count of three, let's all be obedient to God for 30 seconds at the same time and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. One, two, three. Yes! Oh, wow, 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 yeah, 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 hey, 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 hey. All right, praise God. First time some of y'all came to church and was actually obedient unto the Lord. Okay, did you see how easy that was to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? But you know what? We spend more time making other kinds of noises. We make angry noises. We make whiny noises. We make complaining noises. We make selfish noises. We make anxious noises. But God said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I want you to see who God gave this commandment to. He said to all the earth, which means he was talking to kids. He was talking to youth. He was talking to teens. He was talking to young adults, middle adults, older adults, senior adults. He was talking to everybody. He didn't just say it to the people who were saved. He didn't limit it to just those who had things going their way. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. For those of you who are like me, who go around the house singing, and you may be in the wrong key, it may not be any key at all. Nobody can tell you to be quiet because you're just obeying the Lord, making your joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I do want to point out, he did not say join the choir. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay? So as long as that's what you're doing, you are okay. Scripture goes on to say, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before the Lord with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. It said in that passage, come before the Lord with singing. Now, every now and then, I'll run into somebody who thinks they are being somewhat super spiritual, and I'll hear them say, well, you know, I don't come to church for that singing stuff. I usually miss that. I just get there in time for the word. What word are they talking about? Because God's word said, come before the Lord with singing. He didn't say show up 2 minutes before the sermon. Of course, you may want to be like Nadab and Abihu and put your own stuff together. Come before the Lord with joyful singing. Why is it that the Lord wants to hear your voice in worship? I'll tell you, how many of you have ever been in love before? You've been in love at least once. How many of you, even though you can't really sing that good, you've been tempted to try to sing a song to that woman or to that guy? You just la 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 la, maybe one you made up, maybe one you heard on the radio. Why do you want to sing that song? Because you love them, and you just want to make them feel good. And all of us who got half of a brain, no matter how off key they were, we never said, would you please not sing like, no, no matter what they sounded like, it sounded good to us because we loved them. So when we come to worship, God loves how many of you? Is there anybody here God does not love? You got a message from God saying, I don't love you. No, God loves all of us here, whether we are saved or not. And when we come to worship, God is listening for your voice. He knows how to pick you out, just like there can be five kids crying in the nursery. You know that one was not yours. None of those sounds were yours. So you don't even move. But the moment you hear, you know that's your child. God knows your voice. He is listening to see whether you are singing unto him. And so here God is okay, I got him in church. I got him in there. You ain't opened your mouth. And you say what? But God knows my heart. And God is saying yes, and it's filled with pride. That's why you are not yielding it unto me. Everybody's voice has a distinct sound. Why would we allow pride to so fill us that we would disappoint God with worship? Part of focusing in on worship is to get us to stop thinking so much about ourselves and our own problems and start thinking about God. You know, Paul and Silas, they had been called to preach the gospel, and they went to Philippi, and they're preaching, and one day this slave woman comes up to them, and she says, these men are telling you the way to be saved. They're talking about the Most High God. And so she just keeps following them around saying this, and she's a fortune teller, and she's made her owners a whole lot of money by predicting the future. And so finally one day, Paul just gets tired of this girl shouting this, and he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And when he says that, these demons come out of this girl, and you can tell she looks different and all of a sudden. But when the demons leave, that's how she was being able to tell fortunes. And so the owners got very, very upset because now all of a sudden they can't make any more money off of what she was doing. So they had Paul and Silas arrested. And the magistrates came. They stripped them of their clothes. They beat them with rods. Then it flogged them, which means they had them with whips. And then they threw them in jail. They didn't just put them in jail. They put them in the innermost jail. And then they chained their feet inside the jail. And so there they are, a sore, bleeding, bloody mess. And you know what Silas did? Silas looked over at Paul and he said, you know what? You just had to cast that demon out, didn't you? Jesus just told us to preach the gospel. If you hadn't cast out that demon, we wouldn't be in jail today. You wait till we get out of here. You come up in my face, I'm going to knock you upside your head. Is that what the scripture said? No. That's what some of us would have been doing, but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says it was about midnight. And Paul said to Silas, hey, Silas, what was that song Debbie sang when we were over in Thessalonica? And Silas says, how great is our God? And he says, yeah, could you start us off? And he says, Silas says, well, I think it was, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And when they got to the end of the song, they said a prayer. And then Silas says, well, Paul, do you remember what that other one was when we got beat up in Berea? And he says, yeah, that was because of who you are. So let's do that one. Because of who you are, I give you glory. And they sang that one. Then he said, well, what about the one we sang when we got kicked out there in Athens? And they went from hymn to hymn singing 12 o'clock at night, bodies hurt, bleeding, suffering. And the scripture says that about midnight, all of a sudden, the ground underneath the prison started to shake. There was an earthquake there in the building. The gate flew open. Nobody had a key. It just, and it said everybody's chains fell off. By the end of that night, the jailer had gotten saved. His family had gotten saved. Some of the prisoners had gotten saved. All because two men decided, let's have a worship service. Let's start singing and praising to God. What I want you to see here, their choice to worship God set a whole prison free. Didn't say just Paul and Silas' chains fell off. It said everybody's chains fell off. Now, what I want us to see here is how important your worship really is. Because you're not just doing it for you. You're not just doing it for you and God. You doing it for you and God and whoever might be around you. Because when we worship, God starts unleashing power, not just for us, but for everybody around us. You know, what you need to do when you're really mad at somebody, bring them to church with you and start worshiping right next to them so that when God hits you, it just hits them as well, and both of y'all go out of there feeling better about each other. God takes delight in doing things for us when we are delighting ourselves in God. And true worship is always going to bring out a spirit of gratitude. You know that one of the things that robs us of true joy is that most of us have a complaining spirit inside of us. Is there anybody besides me who recognize that complaining spirit? Okay, most of us have a complaining spirit. And when we are complaining, we are not receiving what God would have us to do. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise or bless his name. You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning and if everything is going our way, we say, I'm having a good day. If we wake up in the morning and things just don't seem to be right, we say, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. But my friends, if we began our morning with worship, we realize that God has been good to us and there is no wrong side of the bed. When our worship is weak, our complaining spirit gets bigger. What do I have to be thankful to God for today for worship? I can think of a whole lot of things. First of all, God has given me life. There's a whole lot of folk who are a lot younger than me who thought they were going to get up this morning and they haven't moved all day long. God just gave me life for today. He didn't have to do it. God has given me a wonderful wife. Even though I get on her nerves complaining, I am blessed with this woman. There is nothing I did to deserve all the many wonderful things that she does for me. God has given me eyes to see, ears to hear, mouth to talk, legs to walk. You know, when I was in my mother's womb, I did not say, let me put in my order now. I want two legs. I want two. No, I didn't order anything. God just gave it to me because God is good. And even though every once in a while I might complain about a few of y'all, I am blessed to be one of the pastors of Glenville New Life Community Church. I got people who laugh with me. A couple of them laugh at me. I got people who love me. I got people who help put food on my table. I got people who share visions with me. I didn't do anything to earn this congregation. And when I'm tempted to complain, there are 100,000 pastors that would gladly trade places with me if they knew what was here at Glenville. God has given me talents to use to be a blessing to others. Almost everything I know about computers, sound equipment, video equipment, website technology, all came from God. I never took a single course in any of this stuff. Sometimes I would get stuck on a project trying to figure out how to do it. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, God would wake me up and I'm like, oh, that's how you do that. That wasn't me. That was just God saying, here. You may think it's you who's out there running on the trike at 90 miles an hour. You might think it's you who can throw a curveball that curve in, curve out, curve around. You might think it's you that's getting all them grades because you so smart and you so bright and you so intelligent. You might think you got the salary you got because you know this and you know that. My friends, the only reason you got it is because God said, whoosh. And because God said, whoosh, you happen to be standing in the right place at the right time, and God sent his whoosh on you. But I want you to know, before you get too big of a head and get too big of an arrogant and think it's me, God can say, and pull it right back away. And all of a sudden you realize it wasn't me after all. You know, sometimes we don't know how blessed we are until we lose it. Sometimes we may sit down and we sitting in the seat and I ain't standing up. I don't care what that praise team say. But let me tell you this. Something can happen in your life and you would thank God if you could just stand up for 2 minutes. One of the purpose of worship is to bring out gratitude in us. You see, when I am being thankful, I'm being transformed from a grouchy complainer into a more generous encourager of others. And my choice to enter into worship allows the Spirit to transform me into the person God wants me to be. Because you can't stand in the presence of God for too long and not start making some changes. It is God who made us and not we ourselves. It's the fact that God is our creator that makes him worthy of our worship. God didn't have to give you the eyes to see the sunset that God created. God didn't have to give you the ears to hear the music that God created. God didn't have to give you the taste buds to taste the fruit, the vegetables, and everything else that God has created. How many of you are thanking God that everything don't taste like cardboard? Yeah. And most of us wouldn't know how to make a taste bud if we had to. Thank God he just gave them to us. Why do we have a praise team, a praise band, praise dancers, and choirs? We have them because they are instruments that God has given to us to invite us into worship. But I want you to realize this. An invitation to a party is not the same thing as being at the party. You can have the invitation, but unless you engage and go into the party, all you got is an invitation. And a lot of us, we just content with the invitation. And we think we've been to worship when all we did was we got to the place where the party was and said, okay, I can go home now, and left. How many of you know you can have a subscription at Bally's or some of these other exercise places, and you can show up there faithfully every Tuesday. And if all you do is go in there and sit down, whoa, look at that machine over there. Wow, man, they got some new stuff over there. Whoa, look at them people working out. Well, I like to see them work out. And get up and leave. You need to be giving that money to the church. Because you are wasting your time and your money. Now, the praise team, no matter how hard they try, they cannot worship God on our behalf. And coming and looking at them, even admiring them, even, oh, y'all did a good job up there. You still didn't enter into worship. You're like the fellow who went on the cruise with his lunch bag. Sure, he could tell others about what a wonderful experience he had, but he missed out on the cruise. I don't care how many people or how few people are here in worship. God is listening for the sound of your voice in worship when we all come together. Now, here's a mistake some of us make. Some of us are praying for deliverance, and we come and ask for it right after I finish preaching. We come up here in droves for prayer. Where did Paul and Silas get their healing? It wasn't after the sermon. It was during the praise and worship service. Now, some of us, when we've got the chance to say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me this past week. I thank you for this. I adore you for that. We said, I ain't dealing with that mess. And then at the end of the service, all of a sudden we got super old. Oh, Pastor Rick, I want you to pray for me. So and so. Well, what God do you want me to pray to? The one you ignored the first half of the service? Now, if you were God, what would your response be? Angel. The scripture says, reach your hands toward heaven. Scripture says, lift your hands. Scripture says, bow down. Scripture says, fall on your knees. Scripture say, cry out. Scripture say, shout. All of these kinds of things. You know, one of the saddest things I got, one of the young ladies at our church, she was telling me, love her dearly, and she said, you know, when I was a teenager at Glenville, there were times during praise and worship, I so desperately just wanted to lift my hands up in prayer, praise. But I was afraid of what other people was going to say about me. You know, if you are afraid in the church, what are you going to do outside the church? The purpose of worship is to connect us to God. So what if people laugh at you? Man, this is not the time to try to show God how masculine you can be. We desperately need God. If you're a man, anything like I am, I know how much I need God. Because there is a devil in me that I just keep fighting all the time. And then we think that somehow the invitation to worship is supposed to please us. Now, I know this doesn't happen at Glenville, but I was at another couple other churches. There are some people in those other churches that'll say stuff like, well, I just don't like it when they sing them fast songs with them tambourines. Oh, that just get on my nerves. And there are others who say, you know what? That slow stuff just don't get it for me. I just believe God wants us to be shouting and down all that holy, holy. Some people, now I can get into them choruses. I like choruses. I just hate them hymns. Oh, I just hate them singing them hymns. Somebody, oh, I love those hymns. They're just beautiful. Somebody else's, boy, I just don't see why service has to be so short. And somebody in the same service said, we just don't have enough time for service here at this church. Some of them, you know, now, when so-and-so is leading praise and worship, I can really get into that. But you know when so-and-so leading, she just so phony. I just can't. And you know, if that choir is singing, yes, I'm all with them. But you know, I really don't care too much for that other choir. Now, that doesn't happen at Glenville. I'm just saying, I heard that it happened at another church. Now, let me ask you this. Those of us who have our little pet peeves, what do we want to do during praise and worship? Kick the rest of them out of the church? You know something? I realize God created us with differences. Why? Because God always likes variety. I don't care what you look at in creation, there is a variety. I mean, you know, there's more than one kind of tree, more than one kind of flower, more than one kind of fish. There is more than one kind of everything because God created it that way. Now, I know y'all think that all of heaven is going to be hip-hop, gospel, black gospel music. What are you going to do when God says, all right, it's time for the heavy metal worship service? You better start whatever they do in heavy metal. Because obviously God likes it. And when they break out with a country western tune, and you, the scripture said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Jeanette got her country western dance ready to go. All right, we better bring back square dancing so we can be prepared when we get to heaven. Because when they say dance, 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 it ain't all going to be like we thinking of dance, 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 dance. You see, I realize that I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because worship is just one segment. You see, when I've lost someone and I need somebody to come put their arm around me, I'm not going to ask them, now, are you a hymn singer or a chorus singer? And when the budget is short and we need people to help make up, I'm not going to ask them before they give their offering. Now, are you for the 50-minute service or the 2-hour and 20-minute service? I'm not going to do that. And you're not going to do it either. Because we need one another. So we all need to be learning, how do we appreciate the differences that God has given us when it comes to worship? And truth be told, some of you diehards who didn't want the drums, if we took the drums out, you'd be looking for the beat. I'm telling the truth. Because the longer we are together, the more alike we become. And the stuff at one time we were opposed to, you just let the Holy Spirit keep working, keep working, keep working. Now, when you get to the point where you say, I just can't deal with that. That is why there are many churches on East 105th. It is far better to be in a church where your spirit of complaining is not active than to stay somewhere and just complain about it. Please come back to church next Sunday, but if you don't, we will move forward with whatever is back. Worship begins with a willingness to deny ourselves in order to enter in the presence of God. There are times when worship is supposed to be joyful and celebrative. There are times when worship is supposed to be pensive and meditative, and you ought to be able to hear the voice of God because it's just quiet in here. And you need to be prepared to hear from God in different parts of the worship service because you really don't know where the Lord is going to speak to you in any given moment. And by all means, when it's time to worship God, receive the invitation to do it. I guarantee you, the rest of the service will be that much more meaningful to you. One of the great benefits from Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead is that we now have the opportunity to step directly into the presence of God. We don't have to go through a priest, a pastor, or a preacher. Because of what Jesus has done, we can just go right into the Holy of Holies and say, Lord, here I am to worship you, and do it with all our hearts. Let's pray. God, you are a great and an awesome God. And Lord, forgive us when we forget that. Forgive us when we are not thankful for all that you have done on our behalf. Forgive us for taking so much for granted and just being filled with pride to the point of thinking, I did this myself. I got this myself. Oh God, forgive us. Cleanse us this day. Make us a new people in you. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know how much you love them, just pour your love upon them right now. Let them know that you love them right where they are. You haven't asked them to change this, change that, stop this, stop that. You just want them to enter into a relationship with you. And together, you'll make the necessary changes. For that one who's drifted away from home, let them know that you are there with open arms saying, come home today. For that one, Lord, who may just be looking for a church family to join, let them know that we are here to help them grow in you and to become the disciple you call us all to be. And for that one that just needs encouragement, may your encouragement be upon them this day, ministering as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.